Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm John Davis. The Sanibel Island Writers Conference returns for its 12th year next week. The event runs from November 2nd through the 5th at Big Arts and at the Sanibel Island Public Library. The conference's extensive list of speakers, authors, and musicians attracts aspiring and professional writers alike from all over the country to hone their craft through a long weekend of meetings, lectures, workshops, performances, and more. Joining me now for a preview of this year's offerings is Conference Director and Florida Gulf Coast University English professor Tom DeMarchi. We'll also hear from this year's keynote speaker, best-selling author Alice Hoffman, who is with us as well. Alice Hoffman, thanks so much for your time.
Oh, thank you. Nice to be here.
And Tom is with us in studio. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me, John.
I invite listeners to connect with us and join the conversation as well. Call 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. Or send us a message on Twitter. We're at WGCU. Use the hashtag GCL. And Tom, first of all, the conference is in its 12th year. Can you just kind of briefly remember back to how this conference began and kind of what motivated you to say, you know, Southwest Florida needs this sort of world-class writers conference that you've created?
Well, I started working at FGCU about 13 years ago. And as you know, professors are supposed to do service and scholarship. And Jim Brock, one of my colleagues in the Department of Language and Literature, approached me and said, have you thought about what you're going to do for service yet? And I said, well, I'm looking at a few different few different options. And he said, have you ever thought about running a writers conference? Because we've been trying to get one off the ground for a few years and we've never found the right person to do it. And I said, well, if you're looking for somebody who's completely disorganized and has no experience, I am your man. So we just made a wish list of people that we wanted to bring in, people that we knew who were great writers, but also great teachers, and just started cold calling. And it's kind of snowballed since then.
Wow. I mean, I imagine it's grown over the years as you've, you know, gained a reputation for, you know, really putting together a quality event. But, you know, what kind of a turnout are you expecting next week?
Most years we get between about 150 and 180 people. And I think we're going to be getting the same numbers this year. Irma kind of set us back a little bit.
Sure.
Registrations basically stopped outright for a couple of weeks, went right around Irma. But they've picked up quite a bit in the last couple of days, and I think we're going to have another sellout.
Excellent, excellent. Are there some specific events or workshops or speakers, aside from our keynote, who we're going to talk to in just a minute, that you would want to highlight?
Well, you know, the nighttime events, this is not widely publicized, and I wish it were. The nighttime events are all free and open to the public. If you want to attend the entire conference, you have to register and pay, and that includes all the workshops and panels and readings and everything. But the nighttime events, which includes Alice Hoffman's keynote address, Frank Turner's concert, and Dan Byrne's concert, are all free and open to the public, and those start every night at 6 o'clock.
I'm glad you brought up Dan Byrne, because if you didn't, I was going to. He's
great, right?
He comes back pretty frequently, doesn't he?
He's an every other year guy. Yeah, we have a core faculty of about 10 to 12 people, and I invited him to be core faculty, and he said, you know, I'm an every other year guy.
All right. So he does songwriting workshops as well?
He does, and they are so great and so participatory and joyous and celebratory. He's really inspirational in the classroom. He gets everyone singing, everyone contributing. It's just a lot of fun.
And of course, you're a Florida Gulf Coast University professor. The event's been sponsored by FGCU. Are there, you know, specific elements of the conference that are geared towards students?
Absolutely. Well, you know, we try to make it so it's very open to anybody at any stage of their writing process and their level of skills. And so we have a class here at FGCU that I teach for 30 students, and they all read books by the presenters, and they write responses to those books as their assignments. But then they all come to the entire conference for the whole weekend and get the full immersion experience and get to hang out with all these authors whose books they've been reading. And, right. And every year we've been doing that. I think this is our 9th year doing that class. And so many students tell me at the end of the experience that it was the highlight of their education at FGCU, that they just loved it. And a lot of them come back even though they've already graduated.
And, you know, one of the great benefits this conference provides for me is that you connect me with all these great writers like Alice Hoffman. You know, a few years ago, it was Susan Orlean. Mm-hmm. Do you really get these people just by cold calling?
I mean, there's a variety of ways that I get in contact with them. Some of them, it's a cold call. Some of them, it's an introduction. Some of them, I'm at another conference and we meet at a cocktail party.
Ah.
And that's the best time to approach someone is after a few cocktails.
And Alice Hoffman, how did you get involved in the conference? And have you ever been down here to Sanibel before?
Well, you know, Tom contacted me, so that's how I got involved. And, you know, I looked and saw who else had been there in the past, and I was really impressed. I actually used to come to Sanibel and catch people with my kids every year for about a period of 10 years when my kids were young. So I love the area, and I feel like it's a great combination of all the things I really like, of writers getting together in a beautiful landscape, and, you know, I'm really looking forward to it.
All right. Well, we just started to cool down here, so hopefully we'll have some perfect weather for you.
Well, good.
And you'll be giving the keynote address at the concert and or conference. I don't expect you to give it all away, but can you maybe give us a bit of a preview about what you're looking to talk about?
Well, you know, I have a new book that has recently come out called The Rules of Magic, but that's really not what I'm going to be talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to talk about, and Tom, correct me if I'm wrong, but I really want to talk about the process of writing and how I became a writer and what I, you know, my feelings about writers' workshops and conferences and really what writers need to look for in order to get published, but really in order to get better, basically. That's what we all want to do.
Well, let's go ahead and talk about that. You know, as we already mentioned, the conference is sponsored by the university here. There's even a connected course for students and a separate contest for students to submit their work to. Now, you had your first work published when you were still a student at Stanford at the age of 21.
Yeah.
Were you?
I know.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, I'm a big believer in mentors and teachers because I had a teacher who changed my life. So I think that's why I really believe in graduate school and MFA programs and workshops and writers' conferences, because when I was out at Stanford, I had a great teacher named Albert Garrard. He completely changed my life. And he actually sent the first story that I wrote to a friend of his in New York City, to a little magazine called Fiction. They published it. I was ecstatic. You know, there was no money involved or anything like that. And about a week later, I got a letter from a very famous editor named Ted Solitaro, and he asked me if I had a novel. And I wrote back and said yes, and then I started writing that day.
Yeah, I have one. It's just in my head. Yeah, so I imagine you'd say students, you know, definitely have a lot to gain from, you know, attending events like this, too.
Oh, I think so, enormously.
And do you ever attend conferences like this and think, you know, the next Alice Hoffman may be in this crowd? And do you think that puts added pressure on you as a speaker?
No, I mean, I don't feel pressure at all. And I think there's not the next Alice Hoffman, there's the next whoever that person is. You know, I always feel like, you know, the best thing about being a writer is that no one else can do what you do.
Mm.
You know, you are a singular voice. No one else can be who you are or can write like you write. But I feel like, you know, I do feel like conferences allow people to kind of come out of their rooms, a lot of secret writers, people who are kind of afraid to join classes, ongoing classes. You know, it's a weekend, and it kind of, I think it can be very inspirational.
Yeah. I know there's opportunities at conferences like this, you know, for folks to have their manuscripts looked at by others. Is the crowd usually pretty, I'm not sure what the right word would be, not civil, but supportive?
Absolutely. Yes. The presenters all offer to meet one-on-one or in small groups with people who pre-submit a manuscript excerpt. And then they meet one-on-one and they just have some coffee and they say, okay, here's what's working. Here's what isn't. Here are some suggestions of how you might expand this or improve this or revise it. And yeah, it's all very, very supportive. I've never heard anyone complain that their consultant was particularly cruel or unnecessarily harsh. No, it's all about encouragement. And that's one of the things that I've tried to do over the years is to make sure that the people that we bring in to present and to meet with the students are all very accessible and all very supportive, and they, you know, they leave their egos at the door and they just say, and that's wonderfully liberating and inspiring for the people who attend, I think, in that they, it demystifies the process, and they see these writers who are wonderful and maybe critically acclaimed and bestsellers and all that stuff and very smart, of course, are just people who struggle writing sentences every day. And yeah. I think that helps them.
Yeah.
Did you? I so agree with you. I so agree with you. I think it's really, I think sometimes people who are beginning writers think that more experienced writers just sit down and they write the book and that's it, and that it's easy. And I think it's really important for them to get together with more experienced writers and learn exactly what you're saying, that it's work and it's hard and it really doesn't come easy to anyone.
Well, we're speaking with best-selling author Alice Hoffman. She will be the keynote speaker next week at the 12th annual Sanibel Island Writers Conference. I invite listeners to call in and join the conversation if you want to connect with Alice Hoffman or ask your own question. The phone number is 877-GCU-TALK. That's 877-428-8255. You can also connect with us on Facebook. We're at WGCU Public Media. Or connect with us on Twitter. We're at WGCU. Use the hashtag GCL. And Alice, one of your best-known works is your novel Practical Magic, which, of course, became a major motion picture starring Sandra Bullock and Nicole Kidman. Did you ever anticipate, you know, seeing your work be so successful? And, I mean, many of your film, or excuse me, many of your books have been turned into films.
Yeah. Well, and I was also a screenwriter for 25 years in Hollywood. I did it really to support my novels because I feel like, you know, it's very hard to make a living as a novelist, and most people really teach. And teaching is hard, and it takes up a huge amount of time. So for me, it was easier to be a screenwriter. And I, you know, frankly, when I started writing, I never expected anything. I just really wanted to tell a story because I was a fan of books and because I wanted to be a writer. But I never expected, you know, to be published. When it happened to me, I was in shock and really grateful. I think there's a lot more pressure on people starting out today. You know, that success, you know, people feel like they have to be successful right away, and that they have to publish. And I think it's tougher today when you're starting out.
Yeah. Do you think your experience, you know, with screenwriting, do we see that in your novels as well? I'm wondering if that, do you think that has something to do with why so many of your books, other people have looked at them and said, that should be a film?
Well, you know, one thing that really helped me as being a screenwriter was I learned to listen to what other people said. I learned to cut my work. I learned to edit it. And that was really important. Even if I didn't agree with them, I always felt like if somebody didn't get it, something's wrong. And that was really helpful. And it's really hard to do as a writer. So for me, you know, it's been great fun to kind of, because I had this movie, Practical Magic, that's really become like a cult classic. I mean, that was a really fun experience for me.
And what motivated you to go ahead and decide, you know, there's more to this story? Because, you know, this year, of course, your newest novel is a prequel to Practical Magic.
Right. Well, I wrote The Rules of Magic really because at first it was because I had readers writing to me and asking me for more. And I realized that there was more to the story. But for me, I always want to go backward in time, not forward. I want to find out the history of, you know, what creates a family, what were the experiences in the past that affect, you know, people living in the present. So I decided to go back to the 60s, which was my time. I grew up in the 60s, and, to time travel to the 60s was a great pleasure for me.
All right. Yeah, and we don't see the word magic found in the titles of your works outside of Practical Magic and The Rules of Magic. But the subject of magic surrealism reoccurs in your work almost as frequently as Massachusetts does. Is it because there's just a natural connection between the subject and the location? I'm thinking like, you know, the Salem witch trials.
Well, I don't know. When I write about Florida, it's pretty magical.
That's true.
I think you really, as a writer, you're really influenced by what you read when you're young. And I read, fairy tales and folk tales. And for me, magic and literature have always gone together. And so it's just a natural. I don't think it out. It's just who I am as a writer. And, you know, I think since I started writing, there's been a lot more acceptance of magic in literature, and that there's not this kind of putting you in a genre. If you're writing about magic, that first it was called magic realism, whatever that means. And now I feel like, you know, magic in literature has been much more accepted.
Yeah. Well, you know, taking a little bit of a turn, your book At Risk is about an 11-year-old girl who contracts HIV through a blood transfusion during the AIDS crisis in the 80s. But then Black House Bird is set in the 18th century rural Massachusetts. How do you write about such different worlds that existed in one place with such familiarity?
Thank you. That's such a great question. Well, you know, I think really, I'm a very eclectic reader. I like to read different kinds of books, different kinds of authors. And I feel like as a writer, you know, I don't want to write the same book over and over again. I want to stretch. I want to try something different. And I usually start a book with some kind of question that I need answered. And usually I know nothing about the topic that I'm about to write about. So for me, that kind of keeps it interesting. That's why I want to keep writing.
Right. And you're known as a fiction writer mostly, but you embarked on your first journey into nonfiction in 2013 with your guidebook of sorts, Survival Lessons. Your mother was diagnosed with breast cancer, and while she was recovering, suddenly you were also. And you know, the book is not directly about that, but you write about the experience in the preface, saying, and I'll quote here, "I was not someone who got cancer. In fact, I was the person who sat by bedsides accompanied by friends to doctor's appointments."
Yeah, it was a shock. You know, I think it's always a shock to everyone when it turns out to be you.
Yeah.
And it was definitely a shock to me. You know, I think of Survival Lessons as my mini-memoir. And I think of it as, you know, the book I would have wanted a friend to give me when I was diagnosed. Mm. Because I know that when I was diagnosed with breast cancer, I really wanted to hear from survivors. I wanted to know that people got through it. And so that's why I wrote Survival Lessons. And then I donated my advance and all the money from it to help build a breast center up here in Massachusetts.
Yeah, can you maybe toot your own horn a little bit and tell us more about that?
Yeah, I helped to create the Hoffman Breast Center. It's at Mount Auburn Hospital, the Harvard Teaching Hospital. And when I had cancer, they didn't have a breast center. So now they have a state-of-the-art, amazing center, which turns no one away. And every year, this year it's on June 4th, we have a big writers gathering at the American Repertory Theater to raise money. We've raised $3 million. We've been doing it for 17 years. And it's really amazing how generous writers are. And I think, you know, I'm sure Tom's experienced this too when he's talking to people that are coming to the conference. It's just, you know, I feel like writers are a great society of people who really want to change things and do things. So I've been very lucky in having the best writers come and help us raise money for breast cancer.
All right. And, you know, you waited 15 years after your treatments to write this. And I'm wondering why so long. You know, did you really need that time and that distance to you know, gain the perspective you wanted to portray what you wanted to in this book?
Is that true? I don't even remember how it out. Well, you know, I think I needed some time away from it. And also, I actually didn't tell people that I was undergoing treatment because for lots of different reasons. And then, you know, I saw Carly Simon on TV, and she talked about having breast cancer and having kept it secret. And once that happened, I felt like I really wanted to make a difference. I really wanted to do something to help my community.
Yeah. And I don't mean this question to sound morbid, but I was hoping you could speak to, you know, what the experience is like as a writer, you know, becoming suddenly so, you know, tangibly aware of how fragile life can be, and is there any comfort found in knowing that your work is going to live on after you?
Oh, well, that's such a sweet question. You know, I think what happened to me is that I dove into a book. Mm. I just wanted to write. I actually kind of moved a mattress into my office, and I just really wanted to write to escape. Every time I had radiation, I was inside of a book. Every time anything happened, I was in a book. And I realized, you know, that I'm such an escapist writer that, you know, I that's kind of my salvation is books. And it has always been that way for me since I was a kid. And, you know, it has just really helped me get through the difficult times of life.
And, you know, with four decades, more than 30 novels under your belt now, are you looking to retire anytime soon? Do you ever see yourself stopping writing? Not suggesting that you need to.
I don't know. I can't imagine it. I really can't imagine it. I just feel like I'm not going to live long enough to be able to tell all the stories that I have.
Excellent.
But what can you do?
Yeah. Well, we look forward to hosting you next week and can't wait to see you. Tom, as we're kind of coming up on the end of the hour here, do you have any last words for our listeners about next week's conference? And I want to make sure folks know how they can register if there is still space available.
There is still space available. We have some spots left. www.fgcu.edu/SIWC for Sanibel Island Writers Conference. And they can register there. And all I want to say is, I mean, I am even more excited now for the conference listening to Alice Hoffman talk during this conversation. I'm really thrilled. I mean, you know, she and I have never met, and I cannot wait to hang out with you next week, and I can't wait to hear your keynote address. And I really hope that people will come out for it and pack the house for you.
Thanks, Tom.
Well, that is all the time we have for today's show, but thanks so much to my guests. We've been speaking with best-selling author and this year's Sanibel Island Writers Conference keynote speaker, Alice Hoffman. It's been a distinct pleasure speaking with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Also, thanks to FGCU English professor and director and creator of the Sanibel Island Writers Conference, Tom DeMarchi. This year's conference runs from November 2nd through the 5th at Big Arts on Sanibel and at the Sanibel Public Library. And also want to remind folks, if you're not going to attend every event, the evening events are open to the public, so be sure to check those out. Our show today was produced by Rachel Iacovone, Mike Kinnairy, and yours truly. Our director is Richard Cinqui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Halligan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm John Davis. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, and PR for Southwest Florida. Don't let your heart get broken by this world. Don't let your heart get broken.